Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
BoxingVoice.com.
You need that fear.
All I'm trying to do is make a stand for something that I truly believe is right. I truly believe is right. I'm the face of boxing. I'm the gas cow. I hold the record with me. My drop, I know my drop. I know my cigarette.
Yes, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Boxing Voice. Today is going to be your preview and prediction show on James DeGale and Badu Jack, who are going to be going up in a super middleweight world title unification. Both WBC and IBF are on the line. We got some real badass guys getting in the ring right here. James DeGale is 23-1 with 14 KOs. That one loss coming to George Groves. Very controversial. Most thinking that James DeGale, you know, definitely got the win way back when he and Groves met in front of 13,000. Then Badu Jack, 20-1 with two draws and 12 KOs. You know, we all watched him suffer his first knockout. And in his words, that's when things changed after he lost by first-round knockout to Derek Edwards, which kind of questioned everyone into thinking that maybe he had a suspect chin. But let's head on over to the Sunshine State where we can get the good doctor's prognosis.
Boxing MD, what's going on, brother? I know you want to sit in on this.
We're going to head on over to a
Sunshine
doctor.
State. The Sunshine
doctor,
State.
Boxing MD. Boxing MD, what's going on?
Is that a fair statement to make? You have to be honest with yourself.
See, this is why you don't use BoxRec as the end-all and be-all, because obviously, in my opinion, this is a 5-star fight. And you know BoxRec has this as a 4-star fight?
I wonder why. I mean, I know their ranking system is based on points, so it must be that.
Well, they have Badu Jack as the 13th ranked super middleweight.
And let's just check who they have above him. They have Gilberto Ramirez, who also is a title holder, the WBO title holder. George Groves, who
was beat by him.
I know, Badu Jack was already beat him. This makes no sense because I just came off of the
Felix Sturm, Arthur Abraham.
Yeah, there must be some mistake here with Badu Jack being the WBC champion. And he's been defending this title now for some time. I really don't understand the rankings, but I just want to let everyone know we will be having a live guest today. It is going to be the former trainer of Badu Jack. So we'll find out what caused the split. We'll find out his prediction on his past fighter. Just how well he thinks that Badu can do. You know, I want to say right off the bat, MD, I was watching the last couple of fights of these guys, and I think that Badu Jack had the better opposition to prepare him for a James DeGale. And what I mean by that is that his last opponent, Badu Jack's, was Lucien Boutte. And Lucien Boutte's style is a little more comparable to James DeGale than Rogelio Medina style to Badu Jack. Am I correct?
I'd say that's a fair statement to make.
I mean, I was just watching the fight, and I seen Lucien Boutte. And mind you, DeGale's on the undercard of their last fight when they both met in Washington, D.C., which I was live at. But then watching it on TV, you can see obviously the herky-jerky style of Boutte, how he fidgets, he feints a lot. You know, he gives you a lot of side waist movement, and so does DeGale. DeGale bends a lot at the knee, bends a lot at the waist. Hands are not traditionally at a European guard, to say the least, right? He doesn't fight like your typical European.
Would you say, and no disrespect to James DeGale, he won a gold medal, and he may be a great fighter, but nobody be offended by this. To me, he looks like a poor man, Sergio Martinez.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily call him poor, a poor man. I could say, you know.
He doesn't have the pop. He just definitely doesn't have the pop that Sergio had. And
well,
I think
remember, Sergio was at a lower weight class. So Sergio was at 50.
Yeah, so you should have more pop the bigger you get. Simple physics.
Yeah, but also these guys are bigger, so they could absorb more punches.
You know? No, and that's the thing that that's the biggest criticism that I see in James DeGale is with his style, the lack of power that he has could lead him to a tough fight against Porky Medina.
Yeah, but one could say that Jack doesn't have any power either, right? He was in the ring with Boutte, who Frotch blew out, who Andrade knocked out, and he wasn't able to knock out Boutte. And instead, it was technically a draw on paper, but I seen Badu Jack winning that. So are we to say that he doesn't have power because he couldn't knock out Boutte, who we thought was chinny?
Yeah, no, but listen, I hear what you're saying, but my thing is that I don't see that happening, which is why I want to go further into my prediction. But just to follow up on that point about people saying, oh, he could do more than Sergio. That Sergio Martinez win against Paul Williams is better than anything that either of these fighters have ever done. I mean, so now, let's not for
wait a minute. Listen, Paul Williams was a great fighter at the time, and it was hard for Paul to get a fight, but let's not act like Quintana didn't already drop and beat Paul Williams before Sergio did. And let's try and be hardcore fans here and not casual fickle fans and forget that James DeGale traveled to the United States to take that belt away from Andre Durrell in Boston. Neither man's hometown, but definitely not DeGale's hometown.
But when you're – and I thought he won that fight, and it was an impressive performance, but wasn't it not odd to you that he let a string of rounds go to Durrell, right? Like, it was a close – James DeGale made that fight close because he decided not to engage that much in those middle rounds, and obviously some of it has to do with his opponent being very talented, but it wasn't a dominant performance as a lot of people pretend it was. He won, and he won, by points. It's hard to argue either way, but, I mean, Ness, do you hear what I'm saying a little bit? That he kind of let his foot off the gas. Somebody who, you know, if he was in such control in the beginning, I don't know whether it's cardio or I don't know. Well,
that's actually something that I was going to speak about in my preview and prediction of this fight. Is that DeGale, he seems to gas out as good as he is, as much as we want to put him on that elite level status. After five rounds, he's kind of gassing out. And again, I went back and watched a lot of these guys' tapes. And yeah, after five rounds, he's gassing out. I'm looking at Badu Jack, who just recently hired the strength and conditioning coach of Sean Porter. And you see how Sean Porter is. That's like the little engine that could. He just doesn't stop. I think I can. And if they got Larry Wade in that corner with Badu Jack, what exactly does that do for his stamina? Now, we know that Badu Jack's been here before with, you know, world-class strength and conditioning coaches in his camps, because he's been in there with Angel Memo Heredia before. But, I'm wondering, can DeGale keep up the output that's going to be necessary? Because Badu doesn't waste a lot of energy. You know, he stood really in the pocket with Boutte the entire night, just circling away from the left. He didn't really overexert himself, where, again, on the co-main event, DeGale was there, and he used a lot of energy and, you know, got touched up by a guy in Porky Medina who isn't on the level of neither Boutte or Jack.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I thought that the that James DeGale's last fight was closer. That even though it was a unanimous decision, I thought Badu Jack won his fight a little more handedly. And I thought James DeGale maybe even had a draw in that fight because like I said, Porky Medina is a tough fighter. And I'm not sure if he's been knocked out, right, Porky Medina?
Yes.
Yep. This is the thing I'm saying. It's like he is a much more talented boxer, but I think with the style that he fights, with the cardio issues and with the lack of power that I think he has.
Badu knocked him out, by the way, in the sixth round. And the other guys to knock him out were Luis Ramon Campos and Gilberto Ramirez. Ramirez knocked him out when he was just a novice, 14-0. When Ramirez was 14-0. So that's, you know, that again speaks bounds, right? Badu Jack able to knock him out. Ramirez, we've seen how good he was, though. He's tall, long. You know, he knows how to use his range. He showed that in Arthur Abraham fight for sure. But this is going to be an intriguing fight. It's going to be about James DeGale and what kind of openings he can cause with that, you know, that herky-jerky style. Because maybe that can throw off Badu Jack's timing.
Is it fair to say that, I guess, Darrell Ford, that James DeGale hasn't looked improvement. He hasn't looked as an improving fighter. That you could say at best that
I think that the Porky Medina fight was James trying to entertain, and it kind of, you know, it backfired a little bit. Porky was game, and maybe he underestimated him. Maybe, like you said, there is a lack of power there. But I don't see anybody just running over DeGale's power, man. And he gives good movement.
Yeah, I see glimpses of what everybody is saying in James DeGale. But my whole thing is I just see these guys as these are two of the top three best fighters in this division, at least, right? Maybe some people have Gilberto Ramirez above them. BoxRec does, but he hasn't done as much to be proven that. So maybe he would give these guys a competitive fight. But I hope we see a convincing winner out of the two of them, because I think with their last opponents, I think both of them have trended downwards as far as being anywhere close to the pound-for-pound list. So let's hope for a convincing win so that one of those guys kind of gets his opportunity to shine as the supreme 168-pounder.
Now, you know, so badly we want these unification fights and we want to see the best versus the best, but not often, unless it's like Salido Vargas type fighters, do they end up being fan pleasing. Can this end up being a Porter Thurman type of fight, even though neither guy here is really a Sean Porter who makes the fight? You know, Badu Jack, a bit of a counterpuncher himself. James DeGale, while he's a cutie, you know, he's throwing jabs and stuff in there, you know?
Yeah, I don't see it having the opportunity to be that level, like a fight of the year fight. I think it could be an up and down fight, because I think these guys do hit hard enough to make each other pay attention. Like, I could see James DeGale being able to drop Badu Jack, not being able to knock him out. So maybe that would be the case. And also, I could see James DeGale having cardio issues towards the end of the fight. So it could be an up and down fight. I just don't see it being at that same intensity the whole fight, because Sean Porter comes to fight every single fight. And I think Keith Thurman, you know, does the same. So
now, it's funny that you said that Badu may be the one to go down when he's the one that was able to score the knockout, you know, on the common opponent. But we're waiting on Monsterpiece to connect us with the former trainer of Badu Jack, Eddie Mustafa Muhammad.
Actually,
she's on, MD. Finish your thought. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you've seen James DeGale take clean flush punches from a lot of fighters, especially his last fight against Porky Medina. And I think that he reacts pretty well from his punches. He could take a hell of a shot, in my opinion. And Darrell is kind of lit. So I think he has a better chin, but that's my opinion.
All right. We're live with Eddie Mustafa Muhammad, former trainer of Badu Jack, and obviously former trainer of Chad Dawson. So many people you've trained, Eddie, and obviously a light heavyweight champion yourself. We wanted to get you on the show because it's our preview show on the big fight with your former fighter, Badu Jack. He's taking on James DeGale in a unification that many were clamoring for last year. And here we are, Showtime, providing us in the first quarter this unification match. So instead of us throwing things back and forth. We wanted to get an expert, someone who's actually been in the corner, to see if you can give us some insight as to how this fight would play out.
Okay, let me explain and clarify a few things. Number one, I am Badu Jack's former trainer. Number two, I am Chad Dawson's current trainer.
I did see that, okay, Chad was back in Vegas.
Straight. Exactly. And he's back with me, and we're going to do some monumental things this year. Okay.
Got you.
So tell me more about, and this is the co-host, Boxing MD. So tell me more about, I guess, Chad Dawson. What changed in his, mindset that he's going to commit full time now and, I guess, take a he's competing again at 168 to take another run at the 168 crown.
No, he's not competing at 168. He's competing at light heavyweight. That's his natural weight. He's never been a 68 pound.
Yeah, that was my fault. I apologize about making that error. So do you see him? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, he's competing at light heavyweight. That's his natural weight. And I had him down to the gym. As a matter of fact, he went back home for the holidays. But he was down here with me for 3 weeks. And he was looking spectacular. And it's like we never missed a beat.
Eddie, I want to kind of stay on Badu, and I wanted you to give us your prediction on the fight, how you see it, being as though you have insight. Because we were here discussing DeGale's. We feel like DeGale sometimes after the fifth round starts to get his foot off the gas and maybe has some stamina issues in the later half of the fight. In your viewing of tape of James DeGale, did you see any of that?
Well, I'm trying to be non-biased because of the things me and Badu went through. You know, first and foremost, I don't call him Badu Jack. I call him Benedict Arnold. You know what I'm saying? So, with that said, I just think it's going to be a tough fight for Badu. That's all. I think it's going to be a tough fight, and I think he got his hands filled.
Well, so I hear what you're saying, and how do you think that James DeGale looked his last fight against Porky Medina, where a lot of people expected him to be a little more dominant and especially not get hit that much?
Well, first and foremost, Porky Medina came in the best shape he possibly can get in, and he was tagging James DeGale with some great shots. So first and foremost, we know one thing, that James DeGale can take a hell of a shot, you know. And Badu or Benedict Arnold, he is not the puncher that Porky Medina is, even though he knocked Porky Medina out. He's not the puncher that Porky Medina is.
Now, Eddie, hold on one second. Do you mind clarifying that nickname? Because obviously we understand what Benedict Arnold is, but do you mind clarifying that? Because it's kind of a bold nickname.
Okay, listen. When you come to this country living in a roach-infested environment, and you got guys, when I say guys, number one, his cut man, Gregory Troche, a great cut man. Number two, his manager that, you know, funded him, got him to where he's supposed to be in the boxing world, and then myself, who took him all the way to the championship. And then he decides that, oh man, I gotta try to get rid of some of these guys. And that's what he did. He fired the guys that brought him there. So if that's not a Benedict Arnold for you, then I don't know what it is.
Now, Eddie, there's two sides to the story here. And now, I hear that.
No. There's three sides. There's three sides to a story. His, mine, and the truth.
So how close to the truth can you get us? Because, you know, he's basically saying, like, he just wanted to bring in his former trainer, DeValle, who he's worked with in the past, and have you guys all be one big happy family.
And I never said that Louis wasn't welcome. I welcomed Louis with open arms. Badu is shooting.
Oh man, I think we lost him. Yeah. We'll get him back on.
Well, I had to get him to elaborate on that because, you know, it's a pretty bold statement to call someone that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't like, you know, unless there was legitimate, which I'm not saying there's not a legitimate reason, I wouldn't want a former trainer throwing that around without merit. So, you know, there's obviously merit according to him, the truth, or his story. I don't know. But I guess in the meanwhile, man,
I really want to get him back. I'll tell you that because, you know, you didn't let me. I had an even better follow up question when he first said it. Oh, wait. Okay, Masterpiece, give me a second. I guess they're back. Let me see. You there, Eddie? No, we don't. I don't hear them. Donald in Richmond, you there? No, I don't hear them. That sucks big time.
Can you try one more, I guess? But somebody else, I don't know. I mean, I'm not, you know, but.
Right, let's go out to Blackface while we try to get Masterpiece to situate that. Blackface, talk to us in the UK, brother.
Yeah, respect to everyone listening in the past, present, or future. It's currently 8:25 in the PM over here in the UK. Is the fight next week?
No. The fight is January 14th. We're 12 days out. We're still going to do our Thursday prediction show where you guys call in and make your predictions. We're just previewing this one a bit.
Oh, right. Okay. So do you want me to make my prediction now?
Blackface, let me ask you a question because this is something we're starting to do new that some of the bigger fights, the fights that everybody has an opinion and break down, we kind of want to get ahead of the show to kind of preview and predict where you can give your official prediction. Do you like that idea or would you rather us wait until the week of?
Yo, more shows, as far as I'm concerned, the more shows, the better, as far as I'm concerned, because you guys produce fantastic content. Everyone needs to be making donations. Everyone needs to be subscribed to Patreon. As far as I'm concerned, the more airtime we get, the better. I can't see how less shows is better, to be honest with you, given the quality of content and stuff that you guys produce.
You know what it was is, like, on Thursdays, everyone's calling in and they're like, oh, I got Badu Jack, I got, you know, James DeGale, but no one really gets an opportunity to say how that person is going to win or why they feel person is going to win. Yeah. So we decided, you know, 30 days before starting the new year, I mean, obviously we didn't have the time this time, but 30 days before, we're going to try and do like an announcement show. So it'll be like, all right, Badu Jack and James DeGale is signed. Then it'll be a preview and prediction show. And then we'll do our Thursday prediction show where you guys make your picks. But, you know, those that call in today can actually elaborate because styles make fights. And, you know, it's more than just picking a winner. We want to know how you get to that conclusion. We're waiting on the phone lines to get back up. I guess Eddie Mustafa Muhammad and dropping that bombshell about Benedict Arnold and Badu Jack broke the internet for us. So once we get that back together, we'll be, you know, back with the interview with Eddie Mustafa Muhammad, the former trainer. He sounds a bit salty, to be honest. And I'm gonna tell him. You know, I thought MD was gonna do it. I was opening him the door for MD, but no, he didn't do it. Listen, Blackface,
not enough time.
You know, you have to know James DeGale. You know, he's from over there. How much do you know of him? And are you riding with him on the win in this one?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen quite a few James DeGale fights. I was actually in the building for the original George Groves fight. And in the building, I thought Gagel just edged Groves, but it was a close fight nonetheless. I don't like how, you know, Gagel, it kind of, as you've already mentioned, it kind of gets tight, it kind of tired and kind of gasses out as the fight goes on. And I don't really like to see that from champions, to be honest with you, with the league.
He gets hit a lot for someone that has such a high Olympic pedigree.
Yeah. And you know, I think sooner or later it will catch up with him. And I think, you know, he's only, you know, I think it'd be difficult for me. I mean, I want him to win, but I don't think I'll put my money on him, to be honest with you. I think my option would be I'll go for Badou Jack on this one, to be honest with you. I mean, I want Chunky to win and everything, but, you know, the fact that he gets tired and, you know, he's got a good chin, but he just gets hit more than I would like as well.
So, well, dude, Blackfish, would you be surprised? Have you seen the odds? Would you be surprised, you know, that James Gagel is a 3-1 favorite?
No, I haven't seen the odds. Well, yeah, 3-1 favorites. That's kind of striking to me, to be honest with you. But,
wow, you know, 3-1.
Yeah, that's kind of.
I'm a little surprised too, yeah, of the margin of difference. Like, yeah, I thought it'd be a little closer.
Yeah.
And usually I'm not surprised with the odds, but this one I am.
I'll call in next week. Hopefully I'll be able to stay up and I'll give my official prediction. But yeah, that's my call, man. There's no such thing as being early. You're either on time or you're late.
On time or you're late. And we're about to be on time. I got these phone lines back up. Just got off with the producer. Everything is good. So once Monster Peace connects us with the former trainer of Badou Jack, current trainer of Chad Dawson, former lightweight champion Eddie Mustafa Muhammad, we'll continue with our interview. But in the meantime, you know the number, 1-425-569-5241. Call in. Let us get your prediction and your preview of this super middleweight world title unification. Let's go out to Donald in Richmond. Talk to us.
What's up, y'all? Happy New Year. Man, this fight is really hard to call on it because I feel like I can say a lot of reasons on why Badou could win or lose and Gagel could win or lose. I can say Badou Jack will win because he has like an up and down rhythm, like you said before. He doesn't waste a lot of energy, he kind of stands in the pocket, he's a counter puncher. He doesn't look like he has any stamina issues from anything I've seen in the fight. Only thing is that he does have a suspect chin from the Derek Edwards fight. James Gagel, he's got a good movement, he moves a lot. I think he can punch. We all know he has stamina issues. So it's just, man, it's hard for me to pick on that because I don't think Badou Jack has the punching power to knock James Gagel out or down because Gagel has a good chin. But I could see how maybe Badou Jack could win because in the maybe like a round after the 6th or 7th or 8th round, you'll see James Gagel's stamina issues come in, and then Badou Jack will probably win the rounds like that. But I was watching the interview and James Gagel saying something about he's got, you know, he's doing some different things. He's doing, you know, different things in his training. So the only way I could really go for James Gagel is if he has somehow worked out his stamina a little bit and he's able to go more without being so tired. And that's the only way I could go for him. But I mean, right now at this moment, I can't say who. It's just really tough pick for me, you know. It's really tough. But it's crazy that I see that you guys said James Gagel was 3-1. That's really weird.
Yeah, well, Donald, thanks for calling in. I mean, he's supposed to be the more accomplished fighter, the more accomplished, I would say. I'm not gonna say skill yet because it's definitely two different styles. As MD called him, the poor man Sergio Martinez, and I don't know, man. Some might argue that he's a better version of Martinez. Martinez's biggest fight is Williams and Kelly Pavlik. Neither man ultimately ended up doing much. You know, they were what they were at the time, but, you know, when it's all said and done.
And the way he beat Chavez was impressive.
Yeah, you can't forget that one. And that was Chavez's first loss. He gave Chavez that first loss.
And he had at least 20 pounds advantage that night, it seemed to be.
That's just right. Listen, if you're watching this, hit that thumbs up button, not only because you like the content, but because we got Eddie Mustafa Muhammad back. Eddie, I just want to say right off the bat, you got to let us know, why should we not feel like this is just bitterness coming from you?
Coming from me? Well, let me explain to you what bitterness is. When your father texts me back and forth, we had a good relationship, me and the father, and the father tells me, when my son is in Sweden, he's my son. But when he's in the United States, he's your son. So I've done everything to accommodate that. Because Badu was here with no family. My family was his family. And my family and myself, we bent over backwards to accommodate his father's wishes. And for him to, first and foremost, don't have the audacity to come to me face to face and tell me that I've been terminated. I can live with that. But you don't text me 2 o'clock in the morning after you just left me a couple of hours earlier to say I'm terminated. That shows you what type of nuts he has. And the type of nuts he has, he has no nuts.
Well, you're referring to more him as a man, right? Because him and how he treats people, because it's not necessarily indicative upon his boxing pedigree, right? You're more saying that him as a man, since he personally mistreated you, that's why you have such a negative feeling about him, right?
Of course. Of course. Listen. This man had broke bread in my house plenty of times. Plenty of times. Broke bread in my house. You remember, if it wasn't for me teaching Badu all he know, he wouldn't be in the position he's in today. You got to remember that.
Well, Eddie,
father, but he's saying that.
One at a time, guys.
I know, is that my co-host doesn't know the meaning of one and one. But the thing is that Badu is saying that Louis has always been there, and because of your illnesses, the fact that you can't do pad work with him and things like that, the physical aspects of being a trainer was also another mitigating factor as to why he terminated you, because, you know, one guy was doing all the physical labor while you were doing all the teaching, but the other guy was doing all the physical teaching.
Now, let me explain to you right then and there. Number one, pads don't hit back. All right? Pads don't hit back. Number two, if you go on the internet, you'll see me doing the pads with Chad Dawson. All right? And that was last week. So whatever Badu is telling you guys, I have documented proof. It's on the internet. Go pull up BoxRec. It's all on the internet. It shows you I'm doing pads with Chad Dawson. So that goes to show you how much of a liar Badu is.
But what about the night of the loss? What about the night of the loss? Because he claims that everybody was gone the night of the loss. Nobody was there. No friends around.
Well, I'm not his friend. I'm his teacher. I was there. And we had a long talk right after the fight. See, Badger was telling you all kind of lies because he had nothing else to back it up. I was right there. And we flew back to Vegas to. I mean, see, Badu is telling you all kind of lies. That's all that is. We flew back, all the way back to Vegas. He said, I was there, buddy. I was there, remember? I mean, I knew you got hit hard, but I didn't think you got hit that guy doggone hard that you didn't remember who was in the after the fight, talking to you, But it is what it is.
Well, how's your relationship with the Mayweather gym? Because isn't Bowdage? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
As far as you say my relationship?
Yeah, like, do you have a good relationship with those who are running the TMT gym and whatnot?
Well, basically, Eddie, how are things now?
I have a good relationship with everybody.
How are things now? Because, you know, he's still training at the Mayweather gym. Obviously, I mean, he's posting pictures all over his Instagram.
And I just left him. You got to realize one thing. Badu has a lot of, male impersonators around him now. You understand what I'm saying? A bunch of yes men, yes ladies. He got female impersonators around him. You see, I don't have to do that. My teaching has been getting me over, and I've been making world champions before Badu Jack. But he was playing with cat shit and thought it was bubblegum. You understand what I'm saying? I bring it out. I taught Badu all he knew. I never taught Badu all I know.
Well, at the end of the day, I guess, I understand this bad relationship. But would part of you at least feel vindicated that your fighter, a guy who did learn this from you, if he does beat James DeGale, wouldn't you at least feel that maybe him himself knows that in the back of his mind that you guys had that relationship? Maybe, you know, isn't that an optimistic way to look at it?
Nope. Let me tell you why. I have nothing bad to say about James DeGale. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure that when James DeGale became world champion, he didn't fire his trainer who's been with him through thick and thin. You know, you got to realize the type of person Badu is. He didn't just fire me. He fired a cut man that was on top of his game, that know how to handle cuts. He fired, he didn't fire his manager. He tried to fire his manager. He had to pay a lot of money just to break that contract. You know, and he's still paying the manager. So Badu is coming back to him. And I don't wish nothing bad on Badu. Badu is who Badu is. He's a no good piece of garbage. That's the bottom line. He fired three people that brought him to a world title. And he won the title.
Listen, Eddie.
You know, just to save money.
Let me get at least your most honest prediction of this fight as a trainer, you know, help me out. I want to put, James DeGale is a 3-1. Now, you know Badu. Let's get some money together, man. 3-1? You telling me Badu, listen, James couldn't knock out Porky Medina. Badu took him out in 6 rounds. Look how good Badu looked in the Lucien Boutte fight. Look how good he looked in that. He was right in the pocket. Right. He wasn't wasting no energy. He was countering. Right. You're going to tell me 3-1 we can't make no money?
Because I'm going to tell you why. And listen real good. Number one, I'm not in the corner. All right? Number one, I'm not in the corner. So Badu cut his own throat. You understand what I'm saying? If you realize one thing, every time we stepped into that ring, when I was in Badu's corner, he was always the underdog. With Darrell, when he won the title, he was the underdog. Number two, when he fought George Groves, he was the underdog. Number three, when he fought Boutte, he was the underdog. Why? Because Eddie Mustafa Muhammad was in the corner. I didn't just come into this fight game. You know what I'm saying? I've been in this fight game over 40 years. I've learned from the best. And I have nothing against Lou Del Val. Nothing against Lou Del Val. But everybody knows Lou has a problem. All right? He has a problem. And if Badu want that type of situation around him, so be it. I'm not gonna lose no sleep. You know, I keep it moving. I have champions that I got waiting to become champions. You know, and as simple as that. I'm not worried about, you know, those guys. And I'm not wishing nothing bad on Back Door because I don't do that. I'm just telling you what type of person he is. That's all.
Well, Eddie, let me ask you a totally different question because, you know, I don't want you to leave this this interview, you know, angry and whatever, but can you, a lot of the callers don't know that you actually were in a scene in Raging Bull, am I correct? The movie.
Right.
Can you, I guess.
I'm still getting paid for that.
You're still getting paid for that?
That's oh,
that,
yeah.
That's that, oh, the, that. The residual, yeah. One of the best movies ever made. But can you, I guess, let the listeners know kind of how you got involved in that?
Well, you know, I had, at that time, I was still fighting, and I knocked out a gentleman by the name of Dave Conte at the Felt Forum in New York. And some of the guys that were director, Martin Scorsese, he was there. A lot of these guys were there at the fight, and they were looking for a good right-hand puncher. It just so happened I hit Dave Conte on the chin with a right hand, and you could have counted 400, and he was still asleep. So they came to my dressing room and said, we got a good movie part for you. So, you know, they gave me the script. I was down with it. And like I said, I'm still getting paid. That happened in 1980.
Well, Eddie, I guess I'm going to keep my measly little rent money in my pocket and not put it all on Jack, man.
So, I mean, listen, you do what you got to do. I mean,
you know, I always advise Ness against making bad bets. He doesn't listen to me.
Yeah, that's why I got professional on to give us the insight, and we ain't getting none.
No, what is he saying, Ness? Listen to the professional.
Because I don't want to you guys to think that I'm angry or I'm mad or things like that. No, I'm cool. At the end of the day, now listen to what I'm saying. At the end of the day, Allah is the best planner. Badu plans this here. But at the end of the day, Allah is the best planner. So I don't worry about nothing. I still go in my refrigerator that's full of whatever I want. And my kids still go into the refrigerator. And we still eating good. I live in a nice home. I mean, I'm cool. I'm getting ready to buy me another home for $750,000. I mean, I keep it moving. You know, I keep it moving.
You change your weather? Like, what? You know, trying to get a second home? What's the deal?
That's a pretty expensive home,
what
right
I'm
there.
What I'm trying to do. Oh, I live. Listen, I'm about, matter of fact, I'm having another home built as we speak.
So, you know, so Eddie, cool, outside of.
I have my hands.
Outside of Chad, who's the next champion? You said you got a bunch of champions, a bunch of guys that's waiting to be champions. Who should we be watching out in your stable outside of Dawson? We know Dawson. We want that next one.
Okay. I want you to look out for Ronald Gavril from Romania. He just won that North American Boxing Federation title with a dramatic 10th round knockout. That's G-A-V-R-I-L.
Yeah, no. I'm definitely familiar with him. Yes, he's a TMT fighter. I know exactly who he is. Well, listen, Eddie, we want to thank you for giving us the time. Obviously, if you have any, I'm sure you still got your Facebook. If you want to give out any social media for any of these fans that want to talk to you, I know that you like to, you know, talk to your fans. You can do so. If not, we want to wish you the best. Definitely, once Chad has something, we'll actually get Chad on here himself and see what's going on with the big, bad Chad Dawson. And again, just thank you for coming on.
It's my pleasure. I want to wish all you guys out there a very pleasant New Year's. And watch out for the Benedict Arnolds out there because they're lurking.
All right, Eddie. Well, thank you. Monsterpiece, let me know when you're ready. Thank you so much. We're going to go back out to Donald. Donald, I'm going to give you a minute to finish it up, and then we're going to get to some other callers.
Okay. Well, like I was saying before, I didn't really get to think of who of a pick is. I think I got to look at Badu Jack and James DeGale a little bit more and do a little bit more research. But, I mean, like you said, you're going to keep your rent money in your pocket And usually when I bet, I always bet against the odds because you're going to win more money when you bet on the underdog and the underdog wins. If you put money on James DeGale, I don't think it's probably going to be much. I haven't checked yet, but I'm going to look and see. But I don't know. I don't think I'll be betting on
that. You have to put $300 to win $100.
Which is not enough for me. DeGale doesn't have the type of power for me to bet $300 on.
And he has cardio issues, like you described, so it's not a sure pick.
Yeah, you're right. He doesn't. Even though I know he has cardio issues, if I felt like he had the power to where he can get the to get Badu Jack out before a decision would go, then I would probably go with it. But I don't think he has the power to get him out of there. I'm sure this fight will go to a decision. I doubt anybody will get knocked out. And it's just really hard to say who's going to win it. You know, that's all I really got.
And if you're talking betting, the over-under is set at 10.5, and the over is minus 425. So that's another, you know, if you think there's going to be a knockout, you get about 3 to 1. So I see it going 12 rounds as well.
You know, I really thought that was going to go a different way. I thought that we were going to get that insight from the trainer and, you know, he was going to tell us, like, no, you know, even though me and Badu Jack aren't getting along, you know, he's a hard worker. He's always the first to come into the gym, the last one to leave the gym. You know, DeGale has stamina issues. And Badu Jack is an excellent body puncher. He's knocked out 12 people to the body. You know, look at the body work he did on Lucien Boutet. Yo, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know about that 3-1 shit. Badu Jack is a serious body puncher. Those stats I'm giving out is real. He knocked out 12 people to the body. That his power obviously is real. He knocked out Medina. You know, DeGale has stamina issues. When you got somebody beating that African drum, I don't know. You tell me. Listen, we're gonna go back out to our.
Go ahead. Ness, let me just say one thing that, at least from his perspective, and I take his word for that because he seemed honest. Like, I mean, if you open arms for a man and he did that, doesn't he have the right to be like hurt just as a human being, right? Because
But listen, from the Badu side, it's like Badu. And listen, you heard him. I didn't want to touch on it because it was going to get long-winded. But obviously the other trainer, Luis De Valle, he has some sort of drug issue. And Badu took him in for the last like 90 days. And, you know, obviously these guys, the ones that Badu did fire, they probably was like, yo, you don't want no druggy. I mean, I don't know. I didn't want to touch on it, but like there was issues, man. And it's 2, 3, 4 sides to a story. Listen,
but to simply say that this man is just salty also ignores the fact that maybe Bobby. Well,
there's a lot of people listening right now that they're already saying that. Like it just sounds that way. We're not simply saying it.
Of course.
It sounds that way.
Of course. But you could be salty for a legitimate reason. I mean, I'm just saying
because I would be hurt. Speaking from a loyalty standpoint, like as a friend, and you lived in my home, I opened up my home to you, and I understand what he's saying. Like in his eyes, Badu came from Switzerland or Sweden, and he had no one, and you know, I became your family, and then you fired me. Yeah, I'm gonna be salty as fuck, and I'm gonna talk some shit too. So
no, it's not the fact that he fired him. He fired
the whole team.
No, it's not even just that. I think that he was harping more, at least from my perspective. If you would have said that he tried to speak to me as a man and I still wasn't having it, I'm like, all right. But he was saying that like this type of relationship was.
Yeah, but MD, what I'm trying to tell
you. It's not an adult thing to do. It's not a man. And that's what I think where he's coming from. But
I hear you. But what I'm trying to tell you is do not be quick to pass judgment with only one side of the story, because Badu Jack said the same. Like, he's like, yo, after I lost, I look around. No one is there besides so-and-so. That's it. One person, he said. He said Eddie wasn't there. Nobody was there. So
that's true. I mean, that's from his perspective, and I hear that. Like, I'm just thinking, like, in general, like, we've been down in, like, in Tampa to see, like, Keith Thurman's little gym, right? And you know how close Keith Thurman is with I forgot the name of it, the trainer that passed away, but now it's Dan. Yes. And that he was working with Dan Birmingham still. They were all together. And you saw how close they are, right? Maybe it was that, like, and it, to me, the guy, if Keith Thurman lost or somehow happened and he left like that, I think that man, the amount of effort, time, and emotion he's put in towards trying to get this guy to be Keith Thurman, right, one time, I think it would hurt him. So I'm just saying, like, again, that I hear both sides of the story that I think people should –
I'm sorry.
Yeah, whatever. All right, go ahead.
Listen, no, I'm sorry to cut you off. I was just going to say, I just think it's mindsets, though, man. It's mentalities, right? Like, Thurman just doesn't strike me as that type of guy. Like, Badu Jack has always been not an outspoken guy. You know what I mean?
But you don't think for one second, and I'm gonna get heat for this, but fuck it, I don't give a fuck. Yo, that mentality that Floyd Mayweather's gym has. You know what I'm about to say.
No, I don't know what you're about to say, but what I need to tell you is this. You drug me down the alley and you're forgetting our co-producer who works very hard to help us out with these interviews. You just went another five, you know?
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I'm a motherfucking monster.
Hello guys. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year, MD. How you doing?
Happy New Year. Look at Monster starting off the new year already, setting up the interview. How'd that go? What you think? You tell us. Me and MD have a debate here. You know, he's saying that it isn't necessarily saltiness.
No, I did not say that.
You're asking MD.
No. I said that he does sound salty. But to simply say he's salty for just being jealous, I think is short-sighted. I think that if you fuck somebody over like that,
I know what you're saying, MD. I know what you're saying, MD. I know what you're saying. He's upset, Ness. There's just no other, you know, he's upset at the fact that, you know, he was, in other words, in, you know, better lack of words, played by his, former champion and or former fighter. So he's obviously very upset about that, and he wanted to tell it like it is. He didn't want to leave no information behind. He obviously told us how he feels. He wasn't really interested, because just like this really reminded me of the whole situation with Ann Wolf and Kirkland, when Kirkland left Ann Wolf and she literally said that he was going to lose that fight with Canelo. She had nothing really positive to say and the outcome of that fight, if you really remember.
No, Monsterpiece, I'm sorry to disagree with you. That Ann Wolf did not attack
Kirkland
anywhere near as hardly as he attacked Jack.
She didn't necessarily attack him, because, you know, she didn't have to really. You know what I mean? She didn't necessarily attack him, and probably the split up was more on better terms than it was with the whole. Hold on. Let me make my point. Hello?
We didn't say anything.
Oh, I don't know. I'm hearing like an echo when I'm speaking, and I'm thinking that it's you guys on the other line. I'm so sorry. No, what I'm trying to say is that maybe the split between Kirkland and Anwood wasn't as bad as how Eddie described his with Badu Jack, but she did kind of just say that without me, you know, she pretty much, that's what she was trying to say. Like, without me, he's going to lose this fight. And that's exactly what happened. So I think that's what Eddie was trying to say, just a little bit more angrier, because, you know, I don't know, maybe it's his nature from being a fighter himself, those fighter instincts to fight back with somebody who did something to you are always going to be there. So he's going to say what he feels. He doesn't care what you think. It's just his instinct. But at the end of the day, you know, I mean, he did sound bitter, MD, and he did sound upset, not having anything good to say, or not even, you know, the slightest. It just goes to show that he believes that Badu Jack will only win that fight with him.
Listen, relationships.
You know, and I got to agree with you, you know, because that's the same way that Ann Wolf felt, that Kirkland won't win that fight without her. It was true. She did feel that way.
Yeah. I'll let Monster Fix finish up before I give my...
So many interviews.
I want to...
Well, like I said, that's all really I got from that whole situation. What you going to do? And also, I'm really not, you know, I like this fight coming up, the Gail and Badu Jack. I'm not as excited about it. It's a Mayweather production, so, you know, it's going to be what it's going to be. But,
what the
know.
Hell Let's does that, wait a minute, tonight. Wait a minute. What does that mean?
Nothing.
It's a Mayweather promotion, so it's going to be what it's going to be.
it's gonna be another Mayweather show. So, you know, hopefully.
No, that's a good, you know, Monster P stands up for domestic violence. No, she stands up for domestic violence. I hear where she's coming from.
That's not where she's coming from.
No, then what are you talking about? That's not what I'm. What, MD, shut up. God damn, MD. Everything about you is so negative, bro.
Like, I don't even remember what I was going to search.
Monster piece. Like, okay, so I'll be less cruel to you. 2017, I'll be less cruel to you. I'm not cruel to you, but like you gotta take a joke a little bit better. That's your resolution.
I am. I know you were joking. That's what I'm saying. Shut up.
Let me get to some other callers here, Monster.
All right. Good night, guys.
Well, not yet, because we got a lot more.
Free. Okay. Free. Free world advice from MD, right? And I just want to say this quickly, that every relationship you have in life is a relationship, right? So in general, I think a lot of people, especially in the sport of boxing, which is a fucked up sport, display very little loyalty. And I think sometimes those guys, their career, it doesn't end out how it should be. Because if you look at the best fighters of all time, they've had some type of loyalty. And that includes Floyd Mayweather. You know what I'm saying? So there's loyalty involved. I mean, does that make sense to you? When fighters start fucking people over and doing this and doing that, it hardly works out for fighters.
Definitely agree. Let me get out to talk to me.
Yo, what's up? Happy New Year, TBV. I mean, that fight is a great fight. And I'm a big James DeGale fan. And I keep hearing one thing, and I think a lot of people have mentioned about the girl having a lack of cardio. I don't necessarily agree on the cardio side. I think it's more like a complacency setting in. The guy is like very, very talented, and he seems to be switching off when either the fight is becoming a bit too easy or he's not up for the opponent. So I think that's what we've seen with the Porky Medina fight.
What about Darrell?
That's also what we've seen with George Groves, where it was kind of like started the fight well, and then it became a little bit easy, and he just started to cruise, thinking that he's winning the fight easily, he's winning the round. But that's not how it looks to the judges. People are putting pressure on him, and he's thinking, oh, you know what? I'm making a miss. I'm coming back with my shot. I've got this. But, you know, judges don't necessarily always see it like that, and they're just like giving him like rounds against him. So that's primarily what I see. I definitely.
Well, what about the rope?
Winning that fight? Yeah, that's the same thing. That's the rope. He uses the rope because he just comes in, sits on the rope, and tells you, oh, you know what? I'm just going to roll those shots. I'm going to use my skills. I'm going to use my movement. Like, and when I mean movement, I'm not talking about the feet. I'm just talking about him just like sleeping shots, moving his waist, and just, you know, being cute. So. That's the one thing that he does too much, and that's not good. But in his head, he believes that he's winning the fight because he's showing you his defensive skills. And obviously, not every judge is going to judge it this way. Now, that's one thing. But I want to give like a good shout out to Monster Peace, because what I got from her call is exactly what I was thinking in my head. Like, whenever you have like a trainer, a relationship, like trainer fighter relationship, and a dispute. That's not the ideal preparation for a fight. And it tells me one thing, and she compared it a bit to the Kirkland fight, to the Kirkland situation. It tells me, like, I don't know if Jack is going to lose necessarily by KO or if he's going to lose. I hope that he does. But I can tell you that he's not in the right frame of mind. He doesn't have the best preparation mentally by having to go through a dispute with his trainer, even if it's not like out and out, it's just beef. In one way, like his trainer saying something to TBV, I'm sure he's going to come to him. He's going to try to react. That's not what you want to do 2 weeks before a fight, right? So this is not a good omen for Badu Jack.
Was Mustafa training Badu Jack? How long ago did they split?
After
it's not so long ago.
Not so long ago, because he was still there for the Lucien Boutet fight.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, there's. Yeah, I hear where you guys are coming from. I mean, I wasn't picking Badu Jack from...
You mentioned something also, MD, about loyalty. And I do agree with you to a certain extent. But I also think about it like from a fighter's perspective and a sportsman perspective, like those people have like a short amount of time to maximize their profit, maximize the benefits, and just make the most of their career. And you can have a lot of loyalty for a trainer, but if you see that things are not going a certain way, you got to have like a conversation, a good conversation with your trainer, and say, you know what, there's a few adjustments I need to make in my career, and allow to switch training camp and everything. But you've got to do it right. And that's probably the reason why Mustafa is not quite happy about it, because it seems to me like Badu maybe didn't do it in the right way. He just went about it in the wrong way. So.
A fighter making a smart career decision is not necessarily being disloyal. But being disloyal is kind of what he described. That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, if I'm saying, look, like we've gone this far and I'm willing to, you know, do different things. And if the trainer's not willing to accept those things and it's not working for you, as everybody's their own man, they should have the ability to make smart career decisions. I don't think that necessarily is unloyal. So good point.
Muhammad, let me get to Coach. Excuse me, Muhammad. Coach Mitty. Let me get to some other callers, brother. You did get your three. We got 310. You're up. 310, you're live.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Back up. Back up in the Heezy, baby.
Info Joe, what up?
It's Boxing Voice. Hey, what up, Ness? What up, MD? Great interview. Happy New Year, Boxing Voice fam. The first quarter of the year, the boxing gods have blessed us with great fights. Badu Jack versus DeGale, I do believe it's a 50-50 fight in the true word of the sense. I love DeGale boxing style, slick, can box and brawl. Badu has improved a lot since his KO loss, a good counter puncher. I'll have to give the edge to DeGale. I'm not going to make my pick today, though. I'm going to have to look at some training and some footage. Far as Eddie Mustafa, I'm old school on some real man shit. I get Eddie Mustafa on one point. You don't text me to fire me. I've been fucking with you for over 5 years. Be man enough to call me and talk to me or eye to eye, face to face, and explain yourself. That's just like being with a girlfriend you have for years, and she texts you to break up with you, you know. And I think that's that. He has a point on that.
Well, he learned from the master at going behind people's back and to the media to take stabs at people from Floyd Mayweather, because I believe strongly that Floyd Mayweather being at least displaying himself as a father figure or the role model for Adrian Broner, he did kind of the same thing by going behind his back.
Yeah, I'd agree with you on that. You know, there's one thing about this internet age, man. We take the emotional out when you text it instead of just calling somebody and say, hey, I love you, or what's up, my brother, or I hate you, or whatever. You know, a text is so, I don't know what the word for it is. It's
21st century.
It's not.
No, he's looking for more of a, but it's easy. It's easy. You don't have to. It's emotionless. A text is emotionless, right? Because you got to hear this.
Yeah.
Because if I have a good relationship with a girl and things aren't just working out and I'm breaking up with her, and I have to hear, there's a response. I have to hear my emotion. A text is just concrete, like you said. Yeah, no human element. So, and it's also inappropriate if that's really what happened. But again, that's just my opinion. Everybody has a different opinion about how people should interact, but that's MD's opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. It takes the emotional out of everything in the text. You know, it's direct. But haven't you got a text before and you took it the wrong way and they didn't mean it that way?
Definitely.
And be careful using sarcasm in text messages, because it gets me in trouble all the time.
Yo, and guess what else? What other detail you guys are forgetting? The text was at 2 a.m.
Well, there could be a time difference, right? So.
They both live in Vegas. Get out
of
here.
No, that's bullshit. That's bullshit. Yeah.
Hey, man, over at TMT, when you guys are sleeping, Floyd Mayweather's working at night. You know what I'm saying? So they're night owls over there, right?
That's true.
Y'all crazy.
Info Joe, I'm going to get to some other callers, brother. Thank you for calling in. We're going down the line back to New York City, from California to New York City. 917, you're live with TBV. Who's this? All right. Let me see. What's up? What's up?
Hello?
Yes, who's this?
Yeah, now, first time caller, Jabron. Sorry, I had the phone on mute. First time caller, just signed up with Patreon. You messaged me.
Oh, Jabron, yeah. I know exactly who you are. What's going on, brother? This is awesome. First time caller. All right, so you know the... You already know all the traditions, so let me just go ahead and play this first-time caller intro and take it away, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, making his professional debut.
Jabron from Brooklyn, diehard boxing fan. I was at the press conference, Badu Jack, James McGill. It was kind of hilarious to see Badu Jack trying to troll James DeGale. I don't know if that was, you know, just to hype the fight or promote the fight, or maybe some nerves there, because I wasn't expecting him to do that. He actually brought out a prince's crown and went and gave it to him and calling him a girl and all this stuff, trolling him. So I'm interested in seeing this fight. I don't think it's going to be action-packed as some people might think it is, because I think it's going to be more technical, you know, hit and not be hit. But great fight. And
why is he calling him a girl? Does James DeGale do some, like it's very odd. Can you explain why? I mean, because I'm not really following the hype as much as I guess you are. Is there something behind that he's kind of, like, getting at?
No, I'm not fond of it. It's just that I was surprised.
No. Following it. I love shit talking, but.
Yeah. You know, he, it just seemed odd how, I don't know, maybe it could have been staged, but it was odd to me to see how he was he pulled out the crown and some little Barbie thing and, you know, but James DeGale took it. You know, he cracked jokes back and just laughed it off and kept it moving. But I was surprised also at James DeGale professionalism, looking at his body. Like, he was, like, really in shape. He looked like he was ready to fight that day. You know, he had on a long sleeve, like, T-shirt, fitting tight, and he looked in shape, fit, ready to go. Jack looked a little heavy. You know, not saying he's out of shape, but he looked a little thick to me. But and on the trainer, I think he is just a little bitterness. You know, y'all wanted to really get his true answer, you know, far as technical on the fight, but his emotion and feeling overrode that. And that's about it, man. That's my call. I can't wait to see you guys at the show. I'm trying to get wifey to come. Hopefully she decides before the 8th so I can purchase her ticket also. But anyway, I might just purchase an extra ticket just to support and get an extra boxer fan to come out.
Man, Jabron, you are the truth, man. Thank you for calling in.
Truly, yes, I just had an epiphany.
What is that?
I might put some money in the under right now.
On Jack, right? I'm betting Jack, man. I think I'm going with Jack.
This is when I will bring up again that we will take stats about who picks. And when you say, oh, you just picked the favorite. Are you really favoring Jack, or you just want him to win because you don't like how bitter the trainer was?
No.
These are all red flags. I don't know why you're picking Jack, including this like weird press conference shit.
Red flags? No. See, what you don't know is that this trainer that they've been having turmoil, he's been there for 3 fights already. And he's been doing the work, in their opinion, not Eddie Mustafa. So the change that you see in Jack since the knockout, Badu Jack is crediting to this guy, so much so that he took him off the street and had him live with him with his girlfriend and his newborn. So I don't know about you, buddy, but I see a very focused Badu Jack.
Well, then why'd you say after the last fight they split then?
Huh?
Then why'd you say after the last fight they split?
Yeah, Muhammad is no longer in the corner because remember, my question to Muhammad was like, yo, what I'm hearing is you guys couldn't work together.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Go out to Stewart because I know Stewart's going to be picking James DeGale just based on the flag, I believe. What do you think, MD?
Well, I'm picking James DeGale, and I'm not British, so.
Remember me? I'm Stuart Little. I'm Stuart Little.
Stuart Little. All right. Nelta. Hello? Where are these guys? Mitty, you there? What's going on with Skype? They're all there anyway. Well, let's get out to 404. You're up.
Yes, UTK in Atlanta, man. How's everybody doing?
We're good, man. Just taking previews and predictions on this fight.
Yeah, man. Well, look, hey, Badu Jack ain't got no nuts, man. So I don't know what's gonna happen. You know, it's kind of gonna be crazy. But I think it's a good fight. DeGale didn't look good in his last fight when he fought. Was that Medina?
Yeah.
He faded real bad, man. He got some stamina issues in the series, and I think Jack's gonna pick him apart. I don't know why the odds are so wide. So, I mean, I might drop 100 or two, just try to make a little money, but
save that money,
right, man? So, you should save that money.
Yeah. Save that money. Like I think a lot of the times, if the odds look good, sometimes surprisingly good for your guy, there's a reason that's the case. So, I don't know. Unless you really think it's worth it, if you don't care about that money, right?
I mean, No, I care about the money now. I'm not giving money away for free, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I just think I'm just not impressed by DeGale lately. I'm just not. And the stamina issues, I mean, if they go late rounds, I mean, he's gonna drop a lot of those late rounds just based on activity. And I just think he'll lose a unanimous decision, you know, if it goes 12 rounds. So I don't think anybody's going to get knocked out this fight. But, I mean, it is possible, you know, you said that Jack does some good body work, so yeah, I have to go back and look at a couple of Jack fights. That's all I got, though, fellas.
Well, all right, brother. Thanks for calling in. 718, you're live. Who's this?
Yo, Ness, what's going on, man?
Paul, what's going on, brother?
Sitting there chilling, man. That interview with Eddie was freaking interview gold right there. I'm going to say Jack has got a great chance in this fight, I believe, because just like the caller before said, James DeGale, he kind of fades late, but I think he may knock Jack out. That's just my opinion. I think James DeGale is going to go for a knockout early, and I haven't seen anything from Jack that proves that his chin is worthy. If he doesn't get hit, he has a good night. But if he does, I don't think he's going to last. That's my opinion. But as far as Eddie Mustafa Muhammad goes, I hear y'all throwing the bitter word around. I see that. You know, that's obvious to see that he's a little bitter and upset. But, you know, he kind of got a right to be, especially if he got a text to inform him that he was relieved of his duties, you know, like that's a man thing, you know, that's just how do you handle yourself, you know, in society and how do you, you know, it's on your character. So I just think character wise, Badu Jack may not have been, you know, 100 with Eddie Mustafa Muhammad. And in that case, he has a right to be upset, but y'all kind of gave him, you know, the outlet for him to go crazy. So I guess he just went ham and just started saying, oh, he ain't shit. And, you know, he was living in a fucking roach-infested apartment, all that shit. And he was going a little too far. But regardless of that, he had a right to be upset. But, you know, Badu Jack just didn't go about it the right way. You know, it seems like it was a difference in production. Maybe Eddie wasn't producing the way he wanted him to, and he had to let him go, but he just didn't do it right.
Yeah, that's how Badu made it sound.
I hope he... Yeah, okay. If that's the case, then, you know, we gotta respect that as well. But you can't text me, B. You can't do that. That's not cool. You gotta hit me up on the phone or come talk to me or come to the gym. They in Vegas. They go to the same gym. He got fighters in that gym or whatever. It seems like it's very easy to be to access each other, you know. So
yeah, if you live in driving distance, absolutely. You drive to his house and you say blah 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 and move on with their life. And if Muhammad doesn't accept that and if he feels like it's better, then he's bitter. But I agree, and Ness was the one pushing exactly. The word bitter. Yeah.
Right. If it went down that way, MD, and then Mustafa came on the Boxing Voice and just started, you know, spitting what he was spitting tonight, then he'd be a bit of a-hole, you know? But regardless of that, it doesn't seem that way, but he seems a little upset. So yeah. I give it up for that.
And this is the point I was trying to make. But the second I saw that 24/7, when Floyd Mayweather had two kids fight in the gym and he was encouraging them to knock each other out and he was clowning on the other kid getting knocked out, I'm sorry. That is the worst gym environment I've ever seen in my entire life. That's not supportive. A lot of these kids, the kid could have gone home and fucking been depressed for that shit. Like, I mean, so that whole environment over there, listen, when you're winning, they all love you. But when you're losing, you get forgotten. So that's why loyalty does matter, because fighters do lose. You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of, you know, it's just a different mentality. And I think that's why loyalty matters, because think about the guys who've taken knockout losses and come back and done well. It's just, you know, they make a lot more money and they have a much better career. So
let me get to, I want to believe I'm right with this. I'm going to take a shot in the dark with these sound bites.
I told y'all a long time ago that Kirkland will go down 3 rounds.
All right, man. Down goes Kirkland. Strap me up.
Next, I got milk, baby.
Yeah, you got it right, man. Give yourself an applause.
What's going on, brother?
If y'all ain't got Patreon, go get it right now. Happy New Year, fellas. I missed the first half of the Muhammad interview, so as soon as this is over, I'm definitely going back to check that out. But, you know, in regards to the fight, man, this is an interesting fight. I think these guys are pretty evenly matched. And they've also had a lot of coming opponents. Now, I'm not saying that to say that, you know, the way a guy beat another guy is going to predict the outcome of this fight. But it's interesting that they have at least 3 or 4 common opponents where one guy may have had a draw and another guy may have beat another guy that the other guy beat. So it's going to be a close fight. I think DeGale is going to edge it out. If he doesn't, it's going to be a draw. Mark my words. Let me ask you this. Who is training Badu Jack now?
Louis Del Valle.
Okay. And is this their first fight together?
No, he's been there for about the last 3.
Okay. Well, yeah, that makes me feel like Jack has a better chance, because typically when you get rid of a trainer and jump right into a big fight with a new trainer, it's usually hit or miss. But if this guy has been there for, you know, 2-3 fights or 2-3 years, then I think it's going to be a close fight, man. A lot closer than what people think. But at the end of the day, I think Jack might edge it out, if not a draw. But a great interview with Muhammad. Let me ask y'all this, man. One person I would like to see if y'all could get an interview with, y'all brought her up earlier, was Ann Wolf. He doesn't get Ann Wolf on the show, man. Be a hell of an interview.
Man, I'm two steps ahead of you, man. I got our Texas correspondent Anthony Rodriguez all over that. He might get some video time with her, and then you know, we'll start there. But she is very tough to get, for real. She doesn't do media that much, man. She just doesn't like it. It reminds me of the Ronda Rousey situation with her, for real. She doesn't like it at all. And she doesn't change the number, same number.
Nah, and Wolf has hands, though. Ronda Rousey, you know.
So you're right about that. Rousey.
Like I said.
Rousey looked lousy.
that's generous. I've seen, like I said, I saw a fight the other week, too. Like boat wearing shoes, frat kids have better head movement than her. Two fucking little rich white kids. Literally the worst hands I've ever seen in my life. Like they had better head movement.
Let me try and get out to Stu here. Stu, you there? Stu, you there? I don't know what's up with these guys on Skype. Stuart.
Can't hear any of them, right?
No. What about Nelta?
Yo, can you hear me?
I hear you. I'm glad I hear you because I was about to say, what's going on?
You've been hacked, son.
I know. Been hacked. So what's going on, brother? Badu Jack, yo, tell me, man, because look, 3-1, I want to put some money on Jack with all that body work, man. He's got 12 or 11 knockouts by the body. James DeGale, you know, he's got his hands down. He's not disciplined with the defense. Traditionally, I mean, this guy doesn't have a shot or what? Should we believe Eddie Mustafa Muhammad, who was basically dogging Jack?
Jack's going to win, man.
Now, how do we know this is not any American bias?
Well, Jack's not even American. He's from fucking Sweden.
Yeah. And I'll tell you one thing, that Nelta is not American biased.
I know.
He's not American biased.
Nelta's Spanish, but he fights over here, and he's a TMT fighter. You know that's what they're going to say.
I wasn't saying he's Spanish or not Spanish. I'm saying that he doesn't seem to be American xenophobic.
Yeah, well, I mean, the whole thing, though, is James DeGale, I mean, I thought he largely got exposed against Porky Medina. The body work killed him. What does Badu Jack do really well? Body work. Extremely well. Badu Jack is more disciplined than James DeGale. He's a really good textbook boxer. He's actually a pretty damn underrated fighter. I mean, he probably should have been the fighter of the year last year. Not 2016, but 2015 is really what I'm talking about. But you know, I think Jack handles DeGale, man. I think he's just a better boxer. DeGale does a lot of, like, tricky stuff that I think tends to work on textbook boxers, generally speaking. But Jack is just so good and well-versed in a multitude of different things that, you know, I just think that Jack is going to control the fight.
And you don't rate James DeGale's power.
I favor.
You don't rate James DeGale's power enough to hurt Badu Jack, you're saying?
No, I mean, I think he could hurt him. I think he could hurt him. But the thing is that Jack, he's generally looks sturdy outside of that one first-round knockout. You know, I think he just got caught cold. Shit happens sometimes. You know, they get caught in there with a big shot. You weren't expecting it. You know, you weren't properly warmed up. And that's just what happens sometimes. You know, DeGale does have that kind of sneaky power, though. And I don't want to say that Jack is, like, iron-chinned or anything. I don't think he's Oliver McCall or anything like that. But I just think he's the better boxer in there. The more proficient boxer, technically. And, I mean, I think he's going to take DeGale apart. And DeGale is going to gas like he pretty much always does. And Jack is going to take over in large part in the second half of the fight. But I think he'll be pretty much controlling it the entire way.
But there was a point in the Groves fight where Groves was coming forward on DeGale. And DeGale's a pretty good counterpuncher. He could fight off the back foot. But you don't think that his herky jerkiness may offset Jack's timing? Because like MD said, I mean, I don't use that term. I think, I don't know. I mean, you know, he's got good movement in my opinion, but MD called it like a poor man Sergio Martinez.
I didn't even hear that. That's pretty funny.
Is it funny because you agree with it?
Somewhat. I'd say it's more like a poor man's Nassim Ahmed. You know, he tries to beat Prince Nassim, but he's not. He's not as slick as Nas was, at least all the way up until Barrera. And, you know, even with the herky-jerky movement, I don't think he has that Sam Solomon type shit about him where it's like he's just going to confuse Jack with what he does. The movement that he does is really just – it's awkward, but I don't think it's awkward in a way that's really going to help him against somebody like Jack. You know, I think Jack is just going to crack that body. Miguel's not really going to move around as much as he really wants to, and that's all there is to it. Jack really has to turn it up to a level that I haven't seen from him. You know, I think that overall he's really hit his ceiling repeatedly the last couple of years.
Well, if this doesn't happen, because I'm telling you, Ness probably is convinced to bet on Jack right now because of what you said. Andy was leaning towards Jack already. Ness will be mad at you. So Ness is betting based on what you just said.
I mean, I can't only bet on the fact that James DeGale may get tired either, because at the end of the day, you know, this is a championship unification fight, so he might be the best version of him that he can be. You know, we'll have to wait and see, but I don't think that Badu Jack is a 3-1. That's
kind of... Yeah, no, I agree with that. I agree with you on that. I think it's more of a between 2-1 and less. So, yeah, it's pretty odd that it's that far apart.
Nelda, thanks for calling in. Listen, man, I know you're subscribed already, but make sure you pay attention to those notifications because we're going back. I know MD may not because he's a busy, busy man, but this is my busy. And damn, if some big-ass news didn't just break. I mean, I don't know. What is it considered big? I want to believe. How big is Manny Pacquiao, in your opinion? Is he still big, MD?
Top five.
So possible opponents for Manny Pacquiao, is that considered big?
Yeah. Who are they talking about, though?
Is it sexier if Bob Arum is mentioning a few opponents, or is it sexier if Pacquiao is saying who he wants and how much he wants to fight that person?
If Pacquiao's saying that.
Well, Pacquiao has said how much he wants to fight Terrence Crawford. Seconds. So, I don't know. We'll
is
talk.
Is that number more or less than...
Oh, come on. We can't give it all away, man.
Eight figures.
Yo, it's big money. It's big money. He wants big money to fight the Crawford man. But we'll talk you in.
He wants that retirement money? Is that what you're saying?
I wouldn't call it retirement
money. I'm joking.
He got retirement money with Mayweather already. You know what I'm saying? He's gotten this amount before, I believe. Without a doubt.
He's got that human rights philanthropist money. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, me and MD are going to go do some off-air talking. We'll let you know. But regardless, if he's not back, I'm definitely back. Definitely got to, you know, chit-chat about that one. But I am your host, Nestor Gibbs. Find me on Instagram and Twitter at NestGTO. And you can find my co-host, The Good Doctor, at?
You can find me at BoxingMD1 on Twitter.
All right, later.